Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Nun He, and we got up to Mesve. So we've been talking about Rav Acha, and Rav Acha brought a brisa, and he claimed that the meaning of the brisa is that you have to say a separate shir on every different musaf that you're bringing. So if you would have three different musafim, let's say Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbat, you would be saying three separate shirim, one for each one of those musafim. And not only that, that would imply that you would also need nine separate tekiyas repeated for each one of them, because each shir was broken up into three sections. And on each one of them, we did the tekiyah trua tekiyah, which our mission was counting as three kailais. So therefore, we had nine kailais times three, let's say on a Rosh Hashanah. Now, the question is whether Rav Acha's interpretation of the brisa that had brought from the Bnei Aharon Yitka'u was correct, and that this is the meaning of that brisa. So today we have another problem with Rav Acha, and it turns out to be a fatal problem. Meze. The Tani Rav Bar Shmuel, here we have this brisa that was brought by Rav Bar Shmuel that says word for word the opposite of Rav Acha. Yochu k'shem shetok'in al Shabbat b'fnei atzmo v'al Rosh Chodesh b'fnei atzmo. You might think that if Shabbos was on its own, you'd have to do the kolot. And if Rosh Chodesh is on its own, you'd have to do the kolot. You might think that if it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coincide, that you would be tokea on every musaf separately, which of course is exactly what it is that Rav Acha says you do do. And here the brisa says that you might make the mistake of thinking that that's what you should do. Therefore, in order to make that clear, the pasuk goes out of its way to show that that's wrong. How? We'll see how in a moment. The Gemara is going to explain what the point is. But Talmud Lomar, uvroshei chachechem, which we'll explain shortly, to show that you only do one shir and one set of the tekiyah trua tekiyah three times for one and not for each one. So that basically one is done and incorporates all. Now, this is about the most yufter Rav Acha imaginable, because it actually speaks out. It's like it says, you might think Rav Acha is correct, Talmud Lomar is wrong. I mean, can't get a better yufter than that. Says, okay, fine. I admit it. This is definitely a yufter. But I didn't quite understand the limud from Uvroshei Chachechem. How does that prove anything? My Talmud, Omar Kro, look, it says in the pasuk over here, Uvroshei chachechem. I mean, so basically what it's trying to do is to tell me that all, whatever they are, these chachechem at the beginning, whenever they come out, I don't care when they come out. Because I don't care if they come out on Shabbat, I don't care if they come out on Rosh Hashanah, I don't care if they come out on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Shabbat, they're all going to be the same. Here's the rule of Uvroshei chachechem. And what does it say, Uvroshei chachechem? That you should be tokea, right? That's all that it says. B'yom simchatchem, b'moadechem, Uvroshei chachechem. So any Rosh Chodesh, whatever it is, so you do the same that you would do at any other Rosh Chodesh. That's what I think the limud is. Rav Ashi says, no, it's much more sophisticated than that. It's I mean, that we're calling all of them Rosh Chodesh doesn't mean they're all the same. I think the point is like this. The word chochechem is missing a yud. And since it's missing a yud, it could be read as chochechem, which is the single chodesh, right? So since it's like a single month, roshei chachechem. Now, how do you have two different roshim for one chodesh? Ezer chodesh yesh lo shnei roshim. There is one month of the year that has two roshes because it's both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. So it's got to be referring to what you do on Rosh Hashanah, which by definition is always going to be Rosh Chodesh. And yet it says, Omer Rachmana, Chodeshechem, Chadu, treat it as if it is one Chodesh like any other. In other words, even though there's obviously going to have to be two Musafim, one for the Chag of Rosh Hashanah and one for the day of Rosh Chodesh, nonetheless, it is just one like any other one. So then that would tell me that whenever you have a coincidence of two or more musafim on the same day, it would follow this rule. So this is like Rav Acha is blown out of the water here. V'od Tanya, there's also another brisa, which makes it very clear. This is like a very cool kind of sneaky Gemara transition into a sugya that pretends to be focused at Darla and Rav Acha, but meanwhile gets us into the whole inyan of the various shirim and kriyas haTorah and so on. So anyway, V'od Tanya, v'chol shomoyed b'rishon, ma yomer. This is a problem over here about what do we do, which we're going to get into how it translates into Chutz La'aretz, but what do we do about the Shir Shel Yom? So what were the specific shirim that were sung on each different day of Chol HaMoed? Just remember that every day of Chol HaMoed in Sukkot is a different korban. The Musaf was unique. And this is the only time that we have that we have these unique Musafim on every single day, something else. So that would mean that we would need a shir that was appropriate to the unique Musaf. So what was sung on every single day? So the first day, it makes the most sense to sing Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim, because, I mean, look, that's, you know, that's the beautiful shir that we sing, Kol HaShem Al HaMayim, Hashem HaMayim Rabim. And this, after all, this was the day that we started with the first Simchas Pesach Shoeva, and everybody is now like all excited about the Nisach HaMayim for the first time. And so it makes sense that that would be what we would read. And it's the obvious choice. But what about on the second day? So on the second day, interestingly enough, what we talk about is Teshuvah. And as we pointed out yesterday, this idea of utilizing the days of Sukkot specifically for tshuva, we already saw the introduction to this, you'll notice, of the concept of Bali tshuva in the introduction to who is it that gets to dance in the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. And of course, anybody pays attention to the Hoshanas. I mean, the main focus on the Hoshanas is the aspects of the earths and the schus in the din and teshuvah. So a lot of our tefillahs there are about teshuvah. We even have a specific day that came on Yom Kippur where we talk about the things that we did on Yom Kippur and how we were mitzvah on Yom Kippur. And then, of course, in Hashanah Rabbah, the whole tefillah is in terms of teshuvah. And we say with the same negunim that we use on Yom Kippur, we wear the white begodim, and we send these to the closing of the din. So Sukkot is very focused on teshuvah. So therefore, what we say over here is, in fact, now, even though we bring the pasuk of in the middle of the mizmar, this is really mizmar la'asaf, right? So diber vayikra aretz, mizrach shemesh ad nevo'o, mitzion mechlad yofi. All of this, of course, relates to the Beis HaMikdash, and it doesn't mean that we start with the pasuk of the Rasha Amar Elohim, Malach HaLaSaper Chukai, V'tisa Briti Al Pircha. That is to say to the person, if you are here, you've come all the way to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're bringing your korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, what do you think you're doing here? If you're not here in order to do teshuva, can you tell me what the heck you came for? So this is very, very much a beautiful basis also of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that anybody who does any mitzvah, and not only the korbanos, not only to the, but he uses the Beis HaMikdash as that siman, in which it's the idea of who asked you to come here, mi bikesh zot mi etchem lirmotz chatzei roi, to trample on my courtyard if you didn't do teshuvah. That's how the Rambam describes it. It's somebody who didn't do teshuvah, that's what the pasuk is going on. So this is exactly what it says over here in terms of the Rosh Amar Elohim. You came into the Beis HaMikdash, you're walking around here like you own the place, you're doing what you think are mitzvahs, and what the heck, who asked you to come in here? So it's beautiful, beautiful, direct, face-to-face to you, Rosh Amar Elohim. What are you doing here? L'saper chukai v'tisa briti alei picha. V'ata saneta musar. You don't want to do tshuva, you hate change. So this, of course, there are many other things that are important here, because this mizmar also includes the idea of zvach l'Elohim todah, v'shalem l'Elyon nedarecha, so as the Mefarshim explained, this is very specific for Chag HaSukkot, because remember that Chag HaSukkot is the end, the last stop that you have before you're going to be over on Baal Ta'acher. So if you owe for a neder, shalem la yon nedarecha. This is your last opportunity. Could be over on a lotasa. Okay, so that's really a beautiful implication of the mizmor all around. So immediately after we deal with the nisach hamayim on the first day, we go to the rasha amar alayim. What about on the third day? Ishlishi ma hayu omrim. Okay, so there we actually split, at least according to Rashi, we actually split the mizmor into two parts. And what we do is, strangely, we start with the second part of the mizmor instead of the first part. So we take our mizmor that we usually say on Yom Revi'i b'Shabbat, and every Yom Revi'i, excuse me, which is Kel Nekamot Hashem, Kel Nekamot Ophia, but we start with the middle. Mi Akumli, Miraim, Mi Yatsevli, Impoalayaven. And the first part we're going to say tomorrow on the Yom Revi'i of Chol HaMoed. Of course, it's not going to do with what day in the week, but this is the third day we want to talk about Mi Akumli, Miraim, because this is talking about the difficulty of the tsar that we're up to in the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, where there we were together trying to do our mitzvahs, and we've got the Greeks that are there, or we've got the Persians that are there, or we've got Edom that is there. I mean, it's just a horrific, horrific scene. And therefore we say, you know, that this is very tough for us. We're doing as best as we can, and we're trying to do your mitzvahs b'simcha. And so we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying, I'm holding by Mamati Mataragli, I just can't take any more of it. And I'm about to slip, and I'm going to give up. And the only thing that I have is Lulei Hashem Ezratali, Kimat Shachnadu Manavshi. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't helped me, I don't think I could survive any of this. So that is what they were Mechadesh during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, was to say that, to give some sense of support for the tsar that people were going through in needing to deal with the compromises in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's from the same Tehillah, except over there, we talk about the beginning. And there we say, V'ikel dekamot Hashem, and we talk about Binu bo'arim ba'am uksilim batay taskilu adot ha'ozen alo yishma. Why do we do that? Because now is the time that we are going to be going home, and we're going to be dealing with all of the peres that now we were machdis to toch beitenu, which means that this is the time of the chiyav of leket and shikha and peya and maaser ani, all of the things that we have to do to take care of the levim and the aniyim and so on. And so because of that, we want to remind people, because remember that the Gemara says that on Matzoy Sukkot, that was the time that there was dever all over the world because people came home and they didn't do this, and it brings a klola to the olam. And therefore, we want to remind people, don't be stupid and think, who's going to know the difference if I give it or not? Anota ozen alo yishma. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what it is that you're doing? He's not going to see what you're doing? He's not going to be mochiach you? So because of that, we want people to be very aware and be prepared to come home and immediately take off all of the matanais that they need to take off. And on the Chamishi, Bahayu Omrim. So then we say, Hasiroti Misevel Shichmo. So that's the actually now that yesterday we said, what is going to happen if Chas V'Sholom, you don't give those matanais. So therefore it says over here, Psach Picha V'Amaleyu. This is in order to make people feel that it's not hopeless and that Lamaisu we're going to be able to make it. And this is the normal shir that we see on Yom Chamishi. This has a lot of words of nechama and so on. Okay. What do we do on Shishi, on the sixth day? So then we say the entire Tehillah, even though we bring only one pasuk, Yimotu. Kol Moste Oret. So here too, we're talking about specifically Bal Tudal Ve'Avyon and so on. So we want to talk about the right before leaving. So this is like the last chance we're going to have to be talking about this. So we want to say what happens when Chas V'Sholom, If you're going to not give out all of the things, lo yavino, and so on, b'choshech yisalachu, what's the b'choshech? It means you're all going to drop dead. B'choshech is the choshech of mavetz. So what it's talking about is you should just know that the terrible things that happen, yimotu komos te'aretz, you're going to be bringing a klola to all of the earth if you don't give out those matonais. And they, without understanding, lo yadu v'lo yavino, so then you're going to end up going to the grave. And that's the b'choshech yisalachu, is what it's talking about. So therefore, we have a mixture back and forth of preparing people to give the matanais, preparing people to do teshuva, reminding people to bring their karbonas and the chiyuvim, and being mishabeach on the mayim, and therefore all of these things are deeply related to sukkahs. Now, what happens if Shabbos comes out during Chol HaMoed instead of on Yom Tov? So then one of these is not going to be said. Uh-oh, why is one of them not going to be said? Ah, that shows that Rav Acha is wrong again. But according to Rav Acha, why wouldn't one of them be said? If I'm going to be saying a separate shir on the Musaf and I'm going to be saying a separate shir on Shabbos, meanwhile, of course, we learned a lot about Sukkot, but this was all presented in terms of Rav Acha. So this is where we're going to ask our question on. So im chal Shabbat be'echad mehem, so then Yimotu, which is the last one, is going to have to be skipped this year. Rav Safra said you can actually have a very simple simon to remember what we do, and that is the word humbai, humbai. So that stands for the Seder, right? Hey for Avul Hashem and Elim, Vav for Vilarasha Mar Elohim, Mem for Miyakumli Imereim, Beis for Binu Ba'arim Ba'am, Hey for Hasiroti Misevel Shechma, and Yud for Yimotu Ko Moste Aret. So that was his simon. But it was actually a machloket, because that's Rav Safra's simon. But Rav Papa's simon was humhabi, humhabi. Now, humhabi is actually reverses the last two, right? So in other words, he holds that what we did was, is that we put off the reminder to the very, very end, which is the binu bo'arim ba'am. And that way, we want the last thing that they remember as they're leaving the Beis HaMikdash is that they're going to be going home in order to take off the karbonos. But anyway, how do you remember who said what? Did Rav Safra say hum bahi and Rav Papa say hum habi? Or was it Rav Safra who said hum habi and Rav Papa who said hum bahi? You see how easy it is to get mixed up. So we give you a simon to remember who said what about which simon, hum habi or hum bahi. And the simon to remember is that the common word for the incredible tumult of what happens on a street which it goes to the local school, okay, during the morning hours when everybody is bringing their kids to school. So we have an actual word for this, not just plain chaos, but we call it ambua de Safri. We call it an ambua is like a marching of soldiers. It's like all the cars backed up, everybody's station wagon, van, all the kids yelling, and so on and so forth. So this is called an ambai de Safra. It specifically connects to the streets where the teachers are coming in, right? So if that's the case, it's a great way to remember. Rav Safri said humbahi, because that's similar to ambua. Okay. So now we've got it clearly. Anyway, but to you,
I'm providing the sounds of that courtyard, which is under my window, yeah, as they come in. That's why I have my window closed, because I can't concentrate on shir.
Okay, very nice. So in any event, meanwhile, it's a Yuvdur Vachal Bar Chanina, because we should have known that it was in Barnea's neighborhood, right there in the middle of Rav Safra's Umbay the Safri. It's amazing how one person can be in so many places at once.
David Wellner calls me the mayor of everywhere.
That's great. So anyway, it says over here that we put off the last one. But why do we have to push off anything if, according to Rav Acha, we actually say them both? Oh, there you go. So here is your Tiyufta of Rav Acha Bar Chanina again. So it's Tiyufta. But Adam, what do you mean a Tiyufta to Rav Acha? I mean, Rav Acha was just sort of quoting a Braisa, wasn't he? I mean, so How we never ask a tiyuftan somebody. We just say that it's tanoi. I mean, didn't Rav Acha bar Chanina? I mean, he brought a posik. The Braisa brought the posik about the Aharon being v'taku'u b'nei Aharon. What did we need it to mention it again? And how are we just being docha that? Omer Ravina, you forget that Rav Acha not only quoted the Braita, who Omar la. But he was the one that was mefarish the Braita. What does the Braita mean? He says the Braita means that you're toking on each one individually. Now, that was a quantum leap that was entirely Rav Acha's. There's a very simple way to read the Braita without jumping to the conclusion that Rav Acha jumped to, and he was wrong. And that's not what he should have said. The Braita and the Pusik of the Tekiya are only coming to tell me, not that we double or triple, meaning what we actually repeat the entire sequence of the shir and the various chatzotzrot, it means that what we do is that we utilize the single shir across the entire time that we're doing the nisach of all of the musafim. So what we do is we're ma'arichin b'tkiyot. We don't say separate shiras and go through the whole sequence of the nine tkiyas, true tkiyas again. No, what we do is we do one performance, but that performance is a lengthy performance, which we take a long time to do. There's time to do the nisach of all of the musafim, while it is that we're singing on the single musaf that we chose for that day, which is usually, of course, the Tadir, the Bekudesh, unless it's Rosh Chodesh. When if it's Rosh Chodesh, we want to specifically, even if it's Shabbos, we want people to know it's Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we don't do the Shabbos, but we do the Rosh Chodesh, but that's all that it means. The Braita in no way confirmed Rav Acha. Rabbanan de Kesari, Mishmei de Rav Acha say, that's not what it means when it says that the Bnei Aaron are Tokin. It means that we bring additional players. There's more trumpeters than there usually would be. So let's say if we would normally have 20 Kohanim that were blasting away on their trumpets, and now we've got three different Musafim, so bring 60 Kohanim. But we're still going to only have the same number of Truat Kiyat Truah. And that's why it specifies in that pasuk that Bnei Aaron Tokim, that's the tummy, add to the Bnei Aaron. That's all that it's saying. So anyway, whatever the Braita meant, there was definitely no raya that it meant what Rav Acha said. So we're not going to turn it into a machlokas tanoim where there's no reason for us to believe that that's what it meant anyway. Now, what's interesting is, what do you do if you have 2 days of Yontav Mitzad HaSafek? Because then you run into a problem. Because you certainly cannot pretend on the first day of Yontav that it's Chol HaMoed, right? So when you're keeping the second day of Yontav, you're not going to be saying that Havu LaHashem, because that's pretending that the Yontav, which you're supposed to pretend to Yontav, and you're admitting it's really Chol HaMoed, and that's why I'm saying Kol HaShem Al HaMayim, because today's the Nisach HaMayim. Because as far as you're concerned, it wasn't the Nisach HaMayim, because we were still holding here on the first day. There was no simcha for the Nisach HaMayim yet. So how do we do it? So Abaye says, look, what you got to do is basically you got to skip the second day. In other words, what you do is you do the first and second day of Yontav, which includes the real first day of Chol HaMoed. You're pretending that the first day of Chol HaMoed is actually Yontav, and you're saying the normal shir of the Yontav. And so when you come the next day, which is really the third day of Sukkot, which you're pretending is the first day of Chol HaMoed of Chutz La'aretz, so then just start from the Seder of the third day, and just we'll drop those psukim that we were going to say on the second day, because I can't say it on that day. Okay, Rava says no. What you do is you start on your first day of Chol HaMoed, which is the third day of Sukkot, and you pretend that it really is the first day of Chol HaMoed. And you do start with the Nisach HaMayim, and basically you lose the last day, because now you're not going to have enough days to be able to say all of them. So the seventh day is the one that you're docha. So you still say it in the same Seder that you would normally have said it. But either way, you would be losing one day, either according to Rav or according to Abaye. And there's a Braita that basically agrees to that, because Tanya Kabasi de Rava, it says, Im Chal Shabbat, Liot Be'achad Behem, so then, yimotu yidache. So then, Lechora, that means that if for some reason we lose one of the days, we're going to be getting to that, Jeffrey. So we're going to be going in the next day. It says over here, the last one is going to be pushed off, right? So in the same way that we're going to be pushing it off, if Shabbos comes out on one of them, so then it's always the last day that's pushed off. And therefore, Rava seems to be 100% correct. Whereas Maimar, he was mitaken in Narda, that you don't have to do either of these things. What you can do is you're medalge diluge. What you do is you skip back a day and you say the psukim for the day before and for today. So in other words, for the third day of Yontif, which is the pretended first day of Chol HaMoed and Chutz La'aretz, you say both the shir of Yom HaSheni and the Yom HaShlishi. And you keep doing that. You say the previous day as if it's pretending that today is only the second day of Chol HaMoed, whereas it's really the third day of Chol HaMoed. And you say both the second day and the third day and so on for every single day. And that way, you don't have to lose anything at all. So now, in reference to Jeffrey's point, Rashi brings out that actually, this is what we would do for the Kriyat HaTorah as well. And in the Kriyat HaTorah, since we've got, now Rashi understands that this ends up being a machlokes haposkim and the different minhagim about what to do. But Rashi says, look, on any day of Kriya, you would have had three people, right? So then what that means is that the real specially recognized Kriya that we're adding for the Yom Tov, for the Chol HaMoed, is the fourth one, right? So that would mean that the first three people can read anything because really it doesn't matter since they're just being Kori B'Torah. And the Kriya Satorah is not defined for them. But it is defined for the special fourth person who's being called up specifically for Chol HaMoed. So that has to be the correct one. So what do we do? So, in Eretz Yisrael, it would be obvious what he would do. So everybody would read the same thing, which is what they do. And on the first day of Chol HaMoed, you read the Musaf of the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is the second day of Sukkot. But if you've got this problem in Chutz La'aretz, you do exactly the same thing that we just suggested by Amemar to be medalek dilugi. And so what would be on the first day, he's going to be the one that's going to be reading the first day of Chol HaMoed. He would be reading both psukim, meaning this for the second day and the third day, because really it's the third day and he's pretending that it's the second day. Okay, so bottom line is, Rashi brings it the minute that he had was to have the first two korim divide that. So the first one reads the second day, the next one reads the third day, and then the third one reads the next day. And then the fourth one, who's the real Kriya, he goes back and he says over the psukim for the second and the third. This would be the first day of Chol HaMoed. Okay, Tosis points out that this runs into trouble because Rashi is saying that you're supposed to read the next day if you're the Shlishi. And what are you supposed to do on Shana Rabbah, says Tosis? You certainly can't go ahead and read the Shmini Atzeres and during Chol. It doesn't make sense. Okay, so there's a slight corrections about the fourth day part, but the general idea is what is actually what we do according to the Ramah, the way that Rashi reads it. And we get the same issue, of course, in the Tfilas HaMusaf. What psukim do you say in Chutz La'aretz for the Tfilas HaMusaf, where every day you're supposed to be saying the psukim of that day, but you pushed off the first day of Chol HaMoed because you pretended it was Yontev, and instead you said Ubechamisha Asar L'Chodesh HaShviyi, which was not the right thing to say. So as Rashi says, this would be exactly what you would do during Musaf as well. That then on the third day of Yontif, which you're pretending is the first day of Chol HaMoed, you would go back and you would read B'yom HaSheni, B'yom HaShlishi, and so on and so forth through every single day. Okay, so that's a very simple solution to the whole issue. Now we're ready for our Kapitan.
The Helek Mishnah.
So in order to understand this mission, we have to remember that way back at the beginning of the Yesod of the Mishkan, there was a concept of Mishmoras. And we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu originally was Mitaken, the original eight Mishmarot, because we had Elazar and Itamar, and each one of them had four separate Mishmarot, and that gave us eight. But later on, when David HaMelech came, actually it started with Shmuel, it ended up that in the end we had 24 different Mishmaros, and these 24 different Mishmaros are mentioned one after the other by name in Divrei HaYomim. And Rashi learns that our entire discussion that we're about to have here in the Mishkan is focused on the order of the Mishmarot that appears there in Divrei HaYomim. Now, there are other Rishonim that learn that there was first a pious to uncover the Seder of the Mishmaros for the particular Yontif, that you're at, for the particular Sukkot that you're holding in. Okay, we're going to take Rashi's approach over here. So we're going to have a rotation. We don't need the pious to describe who brings what on Sukkot. And there's a very simple reason for that. There's a heck of a lot of karbanas. And if we just rotate in order of the Mishmarot, everybody basically gets a deal. Now, remember, what we have is a total of 70 parim. Plus, we've got all the other karbanas. Now, the other karbanas are 14 kvasim every single day, two elim every single day, and a so'ir echad every single day. Now, everybody, of course, wants a chance at the parim because the parim gave you the most, and particularly the oros that were rewarded to those who were zoche to bring the par. So they wanted a chance at getting those very valuable orot. So if we've got 70 parim and we've got 24 mishmarot, if we give everybody three parim, we can manage giving everyone except for two mishmarot three parim, right? Because we would get 72, three times 24 is 72, and we've got 70 to go around. And remember, we've got another par on Shmini Atzeret, so maybe we've even got 71 parim to go around. So basically, we really don't have to worry too much about making sure that things are equitably distributed, especially since we also have the other enormous number of karbanas every single day. And what we're going to do is a rotation that will enable the mishmarot to go in order and to get, according to their order in the pasuk, to get the parim three times around in order. And then we will take the remaining mishmarot of that particular day, since maybe there were only 13 parim that day, or maybe only 10 parim that day, or maybe only 7 parim that day, depending on what day it was. So the remainder of the mishmarot who didn't get a chance to get a par, they will be assigned their opportunity to get one of the 14 kvasim, two elim, and the one seder, right? So here's how we divided it up. Normally on a Yontev, obviously we would have to do a pious. We didn't have enough to go around. So we would do the pious. The way the Gemara back in Yuma described the pious. But when it comes to Sukkot, we have a very special idea. So the Yontev Arishon Shachar. So let's take the first day, okay? The first day was the day of maximum Purim. We had 13 Purim, and we had two Elim, and we had a Soyer Echad, and all that gives us 16 different animals, unique animals, that takes care of 16 of the mishmarot. That leaves us 24 kvasim, and there are only 8 mishmarot that have been left out, right? Because 16 leaves us the remainder of 8 for 24. Now, that gives us 14 different kvasim for 8 mishmarot. How did we work that out? So actually, what we did is we will rotate those mishmarot who will get to bring two of those kvasim every day. And in the end, it works out that everybody gets equitably. So we take the 8 leftover mishmarot, and on that first day, where we're going to have the leftover of 8, so then what we do is 6 of those 8 bring 2 kvasim apiece, which gives us 12. And then we've got 2 kvasim left. So the last 2 mishmarot that were left out of the Purim and the Elim and these and the Sawyer, they only get that day, the last two, get only one apiece. And the second day, though, we're going to have more mishmarot that are left out of the parim because we go down one and we have one less part. So we only have nine that are going to be left over instead of eight. So that day, we've got five mishmarot that are going to do two apiece, giving us 10. And the remainder will have one apiece to get us to the full 14. On the third day, we were going to go down yet another one. We're going to only have eight, which will leave us 10 mishmarot who didn't get a chance to bring the Purim, Elim, and Soyer. And then we will only have four of those eight bring two apiece. And that would give us eight, which leaves over the Ashar, Echad, Echad, so that we come out to the 14. On the fourth day, we're going to have 11 left over because we've got one par less. So then only three will bring Shnayim, Shayim. The remainder will bring one. On the fifth day, we're going to have yet another par down. Leaves us 12 mishmarot for 14 of the korbanos of the kvasim. And therefore, we've got only two that are going to be makriv two, and the rest are going to bring one. And on the sixth day, there's going to be 13 mishmarot that are left out of the parim bit. And therefore, only one of them is going to have to be makriv two. The remainder of one apiece brings us to 14. And on the seventh day, it works out perfectly because kulam shavim, because we had actually the same number of mishmarot, 14 mishmarot that were left out from the parim on that day and the elim and the seirim. And that gave us, because of that, one apiece. And then on Shmini Atzeret, we went back to doing pious kiragil, is what it seems to mean. The Gemara is going to discuss, does it mean that we're going to leave the pious for the last two mishmarot who were left out because we're too short in terms of the parim, and we give them an opportunity to get that last par, or do we literally start from the beginning? That turns out to be a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, as we'll see. So Bashmini chazu l'payet like all the other yomim tov. And what they would say was that whoever was makriv to Purim today should not come back tomorrow until we go through all of the mishmarot in order. Obviously, it doesn't mean not to come back at all because the Yehoyariv was already on the second day. They already got their second chance. So that doesn't make any sense. But in other words, those, what it really means is that those who did the Akrav already once should wait for their turn to come around. That's what it means. So we let them know it's got to be in order, and it does not, that just because you say, well, in the end, I'm going to get two or three, let me get three in a row, it doesn't work like that. Okay. So now this would imply, since it said that on Shmini Atzeret, you go back to the beginning, it seems to be going on Libet Rebbe and not the Chachomi. D'tanya paraba b'shmini b'tchila mifisin alav. Here it says that according to the Tanna Kamma, we start all over again, and that's Rebbe. But the Chachamim Omrim, no, we choose one of the left out mishmarot. Achat mishtei mishmarot de lo shilshu beparim is the one that's going to bring it. Says the Gemara, all it says over here is that we start a pious. Does it say we start a pious between all of them? If there's two left, don't we need to have a pious between those two? How are we going to determine which one it is? So if you tamer rabbanan otu shtei mishmarot lo afu seboy, don't we need to choose up between the remaining two? So this doesn't prove that it's going like Rebbe only. Keman oslo hadatanya, but what about this brighter? Kol mishmarot shonot umishal shod, all of the 24 mishmarot got a second chance and a third chance to have a part. Chutz mishnei mishmarot, except for two. Sheshonot ve'ein mishal shod, they only get a chance for a second and not for a third. Does that mean that it's going according to Rebbe? Because according to Rabbanan, there's only one, because one of them is going to be getting the par of Shmini Atzeres. So this seems to be going according to Rebbe. No. I mean, when it says they get a chance for two and three, it's referring to the Porei HaChag. It's not saying a par. It's saying out of the Porei HaChag. That's not... So what do you mean? So that it's not teaching you anything. I know how to count, for God's sake. I understand how to divide 24 into 70. I mean, Bishlam, if it's coming to tell me that we're going like Rebbe, I understand. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa. But it certainly can't be a Chiddush of a Braisa to tell me how to count. No, it's still, even if it's going like Rebbe, it's still coming to point out, a Kamash Malan, that you have to go in order around and around. That means, Mishikrif Parim Ayom Lo Yakrif L'Machar, Ela Chozrim Chalila. And therefore, since you're going to be doing it specifically in order, then it's going to come out that everybody gets three chances except for two. That's the point. Otherwise, it would be chaotic. Why do we bring 70 parim specifically? Clearly, the number 70 is very choshev in the Torah, and it's merames to the shivim umot in order to bring a schus to the shivim umot, because remember, on Sukkot, we have our universal holiday. And on Sukkot, that's the time that the goyim want in. And on Sukkot, even nowadays, all of the shivim umot send. Yeah, there's a big parade in Yerushalayim with everybody waving the flags of their country. They have 70 countries parading around. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's very, very sweet. And that's because of the desire for the Geshamim to be part of. And that was, remember the story that they say, give us another chance. That extra chance is going to be Sukkot. And like the Pasuk says, that whoever is Lo Alayhem, Yeah, Geshem, and so on. So we bring those Shivim Purim, Keneged, the Shivim Umais, in order to be mezaken them in Gishamim. And why do we have a special par on Shmini Atzeres, where it's just one par, such a sudden drop? That's Keneged Uma Yechida. And that's because there is that gigantic difference between Klal Yisrael and the Shivim Umais. So imagine a Melech Basar Vadam, where they were involved in like this enormous international conference, and everybody was attending, and they were busy the whole time. The Medrash speaks this out at greater length. They were busy the whole time taking care of everybody. And finally, the Melech says to his own trusted beloved, he says, you know, Asuli Suda Gedola. First, he said, let's get everybody in. The Yom HaAcharon, he says to his one lover among that whole group, do me a favor. I haven't had a chance just to be the two of us together. Asuli Suda Ktana. Let's just make a little meal for me and you. Kadesha Ene Mimcha. Only just be the two of us. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oy Elohim Lov Dekachovim, these idiots. She'ibdu ve'enam yodim ma she'ibdu. These people have lost on the most incredibly valuable thing, and they're not even aware of what it is that they've lost. Insanely. Because this would be their whole hatzlach, the whole year, was to have the Beis HaMikdash. Bizman she'Beit HaMikdash kayam, the Mizbeach is mechaper aleihem. And what are they going to do now? Akshav mimachaper aleihem. Who do they have that cares about them? Who do they have that brings attention to their matzav in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And all that they can have now is a gradual descent into chaos, which is merumas, as the Zohar points out, is merumas in the fact that the Shivim Purim are going down. Every single day, it gets less and less. And if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then that is the ultimate descent into nothingness. And now we have another word from our hidden capitan, who will now have to expose. There we go. Beautiful. You know, somebody wrote in who's been following the Daf Yomi from Chutz Laaretz, and therefore wasn't able to attend at the right time, but he just made Aliyah. He's going to be here if he wants to join the Daf Yomi. So I don't let people into our intimate Daf Yomi unless they've been here unknowingly to us, maybe for a while. So as I write him, so have you been following the Daf Yomi? Following the Daf Yomi, I know that Sir Richard replaced our president. I've been here that long. So this became the simon that he should be allowed to come to the Daf Yomi. Anyway. So as Richie is found, wherever he goes, you're Richie. It's amazing. I can't believe it. And what's amazing is that the image that people have from the DAF, if they haven't had the video, the image that they have of Richie is of this kid. All of a sudden, they meet this old guy. It's, you're Richie. How is that possible? It's unbelievable. All right, so keep up the youthfulness, Sir Richard. Okay, so we have the Mishnah b'shlosha prakim b'shana. So there's three times, meaning during the three regalim, Hayukol Mishmarot Shavot Be'emurei HaRegalim. All of the Mishmaros got an equal share. Now let's consider what happens. Remember, we split up the year into these Mishmarot. Every Mishmar gets 2 weeks out of the year, basically, which is theirs, right? Now, what happens if Yontif comes out during that period? So, I mean, are they the ones who get the chance to keep all of the karbonis of the Yontif? So it turns out like this, and we're going to learn this out of Psukim, that anything that would have been brought anyway during that period and has nothing to do with the Yontif, the Mishmar that was set aside for that week, they get that on their own. They do not share that. But anything that is being brought because of the Yontif, that they have to share equally with all of the Mishmarot, and we learn that out from the Pasuk. And therefore, the Mishnah here sets aside that all of the Mishmarot are the same in the Emurim of the Regal. Now, this is an absurd statement because Emurim, of course, are the part that's put on the Mizbeach. So nobody gets a share in Emurim. And it's a little bit, it leaves you with your mouth hanging open. What do you mean, Emurim? So actually, what it's going to include is not the Emurim at all, but as the Gemara explains, the things that are Amur on the Regal. And that includes the various Zechuyas, if people are bringing specifically Shalmei Chagiga, and they're bringing Shalmei Simcha, that's coming for the Yontif, unless actually some Neachronim Taina, that if the person is using a neder and a dava that he would have brought at another time, which you're allowed to use for Shalmei Simcha, then it would not be included in the specific. That's already a question that Terry Evans suggests that. It's not so poshut, obviously. But anyway, but that would mean that the chazav ishok of all of those karbanas are going to be shared equally. The same thing would be the very valuable orot of all of the erlois that are being brought, so whether that's erlois or iya, or whether it's the actual karbonis that are being brought for the chag itself, all of that is going to be shared. And that's what it refers to. So they're going to get that. And one other thing they're going to get, they're also going to get the lechem aponim. Now that we learn out from a special pasuk, that even though the lechem aponim would have been given out normally on Shabbat to the mishmar of that Shabbat, and we split it between the mishmar hanichnas and the mishmar hayotzei, because that's when we flip the mishmaris. But the lechem aponim that is on a Shabbos during a yontev actually is part of what's viewed as coming for the yontev, strangely. And we'll see why we learn out of the pasuk. It's a beautiful drasha. And the chiluk of the lechem aponim is given to everybody. And then there's one other thing. What happens on Shavuos, where we also have a special carbon, which is the shteil lechem. Now, the shteil lechem was made out of chametz, and the lechem aponim was made out of matzah. And since it says chelek kechelek, we learn out from there that you cannot give one kohen a portion in one thing and another kohen an appropriately matching portion from another thing. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't give one kohen some of the lechem aponim and then say to another kohen, well, we don't have any lechem aponim left for you, but we're going to give you instead the shteil lechem. Every kohen had to get a share in both the shteil lechem and the lechem aponim. And therefore, the kohen who's giving out the various halakim would say to each kohen, Omer lo, here's a piece of matzah for you, meaning from the lechem aponim. Here's a piece of chometz for you, meaning from the shteil lechem. And that way it would be clear that everyone is getting. The mishmar shezmano kavua, the mishmar that anyway would have been in place during this period, of course, retains their position for anything that isn't coming because of the yontif. And therefore, they would be the ones that would be makriv all of the tmidim, any nedarim and nedavais that were would have been brought anyway, and they're not coming for the yontif, and any other karbanas tzibor, which the Gemara is going to ask, what exactly is that? This is coming to add shar karbanas tzibor and makrivas hakol. What is makrivas hakol supposed to be adding? And we'll see in the Gemara exactly what that means. Ask the Gemara, what in the world? Emurei haregolim? Nobody gets emurim. The emurim go up to the Mizbeach. That's Shel Gavoah Aninu. That belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not given out to Kohanim. Amr Rav Chisda, emurim is a play on words. It's just there to drive you crazy. The word emuri means masha amur. Amurim, all the things that we speak about that need to be brought on the yantiv, that's what's going to be given to all of the kohanim together. And how do we know that? Tanu rabbanan. Minayin shekol ha-mishmorot shavot ve-emurei ha-regalim. Where do we see in the Torah that this is the fact and that we have to share it together? Because it says specifically in the Torah, v'chiyavo ha-levi me'achad she'arecha. Mikol Yisrael. Now, this is one of the 24 places that we learned about in a couple of places. This is one of the 24 places where the Levium, Kohanim, are called Levium, even though it's clearly only a reference to Kohanim. Remember, every time we say that, we say, V'zeh echad me'em v'kohanim ha-levi b'nei tzedok, right? So that's another one of the 24 Mishmarot, and all of the 24 matanot, and the 24 places where those kohanim are called Levi'im, and of course we have all our other 24s that we speak about. I won't go into the 24 blackbirds baked in the pie, which I love to do, but it did. So this is another one of the most strange of the 24, that there's 24 places where the kohanim are actually attributed to being Levi'im. So it says over there, Ki avo alevi me'achad she'arecha, it really means the Kohen, as we'll see in a moment, asher hu gar sham, and he's coming from somewhere that he lives, and he's coming up to the Beis HaMikdash. Ubo b'chol avat nafsho, he can come whenever the heck he wants. El ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem, v'sheret b'shem Hashem, k'kol echav ha-leviyim ha-omdim sham lifnei Hashem. He can act the same as any other Kohen and bring whatever carbon he wants. Now, what does that pasuk refer to? You might think that it means just what it says. Yochol after Shariyamot Hashanakein, that any Kohen who comes in gets the right to do whatever he wants. But that's not true. Because the pasuk specifies, Me'achad Sha'arecha. Why does it say that? Lo amarti yela b'sha'ah she'kol Yisrael nechrasim b'sha'ar echad. What we're talking about is where there is a time, that's Kol Yisrael Chaverim, and everybody is coming together to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, it's then that he can come b'chol avat nafsho and get everything that he wants. Okay, so then that's a reference specifically, as we'll see in a moment, to those things that are being brought on that day. And it's saying he can be makrivit. And if he can be makrivit, so then obviously he gets to eat it because it says, l'koheina makrivoto lo tihiyeh. Fine. Now, by looking at the Chiluk Lechem HaPanim, we're going to see why it's limited to the dinim of the korbanos of the Moed itself. So, where do we know Lechem HaPanim? Tana Rabbani. Minayin shekol ha-mishmarot shavot b'chiluk Lechem HaPanim. Well, let's take a look at the Pasuk. Talmud Lomar, this is why it says in the Pasuk that right after what we just said before, Baba Cholavat Nafsho and so on, Chelek Kechelek Yochelu, they all get the same thing to eat. Levad Mimikarav Alavot. What in the world does that mean? Other than that which had been sold by the forefathers. What? Sold by the forefathers. What is this all about? So this comes to tell me that those things that were mechulak by Moshe Rabbeinu, David, Shmuel, in which the various mishmarot agreed that I'm going to sell you my rights in exchange for you giving me your rights. So in other words, all of the mishmarot made a deal. You're going to have everything this week, I'm not going to have anything. And that's how we created the mishmarot, because otherwise what would give us the right to take away various things? They needed to make an agreement. So that's the mimkarav al ha'avot. And it says over here that besides that, that is what it is that you get. And that's the idea of not the things that would have been brought anyway. But how do we know it's Lechem HaPanim? Because it says over there, Chelek Chelek Yochelu. So this comes to tell me that whatever it is that we split to do the Aveda, that's what you get to eat. Now, let me ask you something. What do you think that means? You think it means that when you're bringing the various karbonos of the chag, you get to keep the chazav shok, you get to keep the orot, That's ridiculous. I don't need this pasuk to tell me that. Because my achila, if you're telling me it means the karbonis that you're bringing, I don't learn that from here. I learned that from the obvious pasuk. It says, "Lekohen makriv ota lo tiyeh." You are supposed to be giving the chelek to those people who are involved in the hakrava. So that's a given on all karbonis. I don't need a special pasuk to tell me chelek to chelek yochid. Therefore, you know what it's coming to tell me? This is gorgeous drasha. Chelek to chelek yochelu is telling me that where there is no application of lekohen makriv ota lo tiyeh, but there is only a yochelu, they get to share that too. And there's only one thing like that, the lechem aponim. There's nothing to do for the lechem aponim because it was already mesudr the previous week. So what are you going to do? The only thing that's left is to eat it, to share it. So that is it saying, that thing which is only yochelu shall be eaten by everybody. Whew, ingenious, gorgeous. So every last word is accounted for in the most stunning way. So even though you would think that the lechem aponim being part of the normal Shabbos should go to the mishmarot of that Shabbos, no. Gufa in the pasuk of becholavat nafsho, it comes to tell me, and there's something about eating over here. That which is only going to be eaten, chelek chelek chelek, should be eaten by everybody when they're coming becholavat nafsho. So yochol af becholvot habaot shelo machmat haregel beregel, you might think this would apply even to the things that are being brought, that would have been brought anyway, the tamid of every day, nedarim v'nedavas during that week, that are not coming because of the regal. No, that's why it says, levad mimikarav al avot, other than what the forefathers of these mishmarot sold to each other. What's that? Ma machru ha'avot zeh lezeh? Those are the various kohanim who agreed, ani b'shabbati, and I'm a vater, my rights on your Shabbos, that's going to be yours. And all 24 Mishmarot did this to all of the other 23. And therefore, since they made that agreement, ani b'shabbati v'ata b'shabbatcha, the Torah puts into place the Mishmarot based on those agreements, whenever they will take place. And at that point, those things are not included in Uba B'chol Avat Nafsho. So now we have a clear description of the entire structure over here. Be'achat Sha'arecha is during Yontev, Bo B'chol Avat Nafsho, everybody is the same, and only on things Levad Mimkaram, and even on things which you think they wouldn't be the same, but since it's only Achila, then there's Chelek Yochelu, which includes the Lechem HaPanim.